There you are, Tiger. Wrap your laughing gear around that.
Oh, blimey, Pussycat, you trying to give me an heart attack?
Oh, can't I treat you to a full English once in a blue moon?
You ain't cooking.
Well, felt like it this morning.
Oh, thought we were still trying to cut down after Cornwall, all that lovely grub.
Yes, well, I am.
Oi, what are you having?
Coffee.
Liquid breakfast, eh? You having a liquid lunch later as well?
No. As a matter of fact, I've arranged for us to go to Mum and Jack's. Is that all right?
Yeah, fine. Mmm.
With a detour via Underwoods first.
What, you're missing it already? You only went there yesterday.
I want to buy Jenny's birthday present for tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Thought I'd get her one of those brain game thingies, you know, that's meant to stop you going gaga.
Yeah, someone should have got one to Jack in time.
Oh, shut up, Matt.
What? Mmm, these are great sausages.
Mmm, they're Tom's. So, so you don't mind?
What?
Me planning your day.
No, not at all, Miss Wheat.
You, didn't have anything else planned, did you? You know, no meetings?
On a Sunday?
Well, not with Chalky or Annabelle.
No. Annabelle's more than earned a weekend off the terrific job she did for me last week.
Oh?
Yeah. Full of wonderful expertise, that woman.
Mm. What expertise exactly?
Newts. Great crested.
Are you sure you want to buy another card, Daniel? You've got three there already.
I know what I'm doing.
Don't say I didn't warn you, old boy. There.
Hmm.
You're not giving much away. Not gone bust, have you?
Hold on, Grandad.
Sorry. I hope your mother doesn't hang around talking to the vicar after church. I hate a late lunch on a Sunday.
Well, I expect she will be late. It's this Plough Sunday service today.
And what time's your father back?
Shh. I'm trying to count.
Sorry. Does wonders for your mental arithmetic, Pontoon.
I think I want to buy another card.
Ah, like that, is it?
Yep.
You are a high roller, aren't you?
Just steal.
Okay, boss.
A four! Yes! That's a five-card trick, isn't it?
Good grief, let's see. Oh, you're getting the hang of this game. Well done, that boy.
So, what did you get?
17.
Ah. So, how much do I get for a five-card trick?
Double.
Yes!
Well, you'd better count how many butter beans are in the pile.
Okay. 2, 3, 6, 8... Oh, 12. So, you owe me 24. I'm minted.
Mercy. I'm a pensioner, you know, Danny boy.
And I'm a kid. Hand them over.
All right. You win. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
It's brilliant, this game.
12, 14, 16,
I really
18,
like
20,
it.
20, 22. You're cleaning me out.
It's fast money.
You're a fast learner. Too fast. There you are. 24. £2.40.
Great. I need it. I spent all of Friday's pocket money in town yesterday.
I see. So you've been playing against next week's?
Yep.
The futures market. You do well in the city.
So, she came up with this really clever strategy. You wouldn't believe it.
Oh, I'd believe anything of the wondrous Annabelle.
Create an alternative habitat for the slimy little beggars. That was very nice. Thank you very much.
Good.
See, that'll keep the planners happy, and I can go ahead with the development. Brilliant, yeah?
Sounds pretty straightforward to me.
That is, when you've thought of it. That's where she schools Annabelle. She sees simple and logical solutions to difficult problems. And she uses psychology. Throw the objectors something they want, something they think you're giving up. It's very clever.
Hmm. Two of you seem to have spent an awful lot of time together coming up with this little plan to rehouse homeless newts.
Yeah, they're not homeless yet. No, she's very thorough. Driven like me, you know. Likes to work hard.
And play hard?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I do. She's bound to have a full life outside of work, a woman like that. In fact, she's probably relaxing this weekend with that gorgeous beau of hers. Dominic, was it?
Yeah, that's him, yeah.
Pass me that plate, Daniel, will you?
Okay.
Oh, this is Jim's. He's left most of it.
Here.
Thanks. Straight into the bin. What a waste.
He said he was tired of talking.
And whose fault's that? Thanks for helping me clear up.
It's okay. Mum?
Yes, darling?
Will you or Dad take me into Borchester this afternoon?
Yes, I should think so. What for?
I want to look around the shops.
You told me you were broke.
No, I've got £5.50 to spend.
How come? You spent all your pocket money yesterday.
Oh, this isn't pocket money. It's winnings.
What do you mean, winnings? What winnings?
Grandad's been teaching me how to play pontoon. I keep beating him. It's a breeze.
For money?
Well, we were actually using butter beans, but that's only because we didn't have enough change and...
How's it going?
Have you heard this?
What?
Your father.
What now?
He's been teaching Daniel to play pontoon.
Pontoon?
Yeah, it's a great game. I don't know why he never taught me, Dad.
For money.
What?
I want £5.50. Not bad for a beginner, right?
Oh, no.
You talk to Daniel, Alistair. I'll see to Jim.
Ah, Shula. I hope you're not intending to dish up that turkey casserole again for supper. I'm growing wattles here under my chin.
Never mind the turkey casserole. Daniel says you've been gambling with him for money.
Oh, yes. Well, it's no fun if nothing's at stake. I mean, who wants to win beads or beans, for heaven's sake? You can't spend them in a sweet shop.
You shouldn't have done it, Jim.
What are you talking about, shouldn't have done it?
We don't want Daniel gambling.
Nonsense. He loved it. And it's marvellous for mental arithmetic. Totting up the cards, working out your winnings or losses.
Please, don't play with him again.
What a killjoy you are.
I don't want you corrupting him.
You have to put everything into the crucible of morality, don't you? He and I had a perfectly splendid morning, and you can't help but pour your cold Puritan water all over it.
Oh, it's not Puritan to condemn gambling.
The boy's good. He knows how to take a risk.
I don't want him taking risks. Not that kind. The kind that could lead him into misery and debt.
Debt? Misery? Penury? It's all getting a bit Dickensian. He was complaining it was the last day of his holidays, poor chap. I thought he deserved some fun.
No, Jim. Gambling's the wrong sort of fun.
He'll be tied up with all sorts of ghastly homework from tomorrow. Won't have any time for his old grandpa.
Now who's being Dickensian?
Thought I'd teach him a life skill, passing it down the generations. What's wrong with that? I used to play with Alistair when he was a boy and it never did him any harm.
Yes. Well, I've said no. Read my lips, Jim. No more pontoon.
Poker?
Oh.
Only kidding.
You're not to gamble with Grandpa again.
Why not?
Because I say so.
That's not fair.
I mean it, Daniel.
I wish I'd never said anything about the money.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did.
It was only, like, a measly £5.50.
That's not measly. And anyway, that's not the point.
It was hardly £1,000,000.
It doesn't matter. It's the principle.
I wish Mum had stayed at church and you'd have stayed out on your cool. I was having a really nice day with Grandad till you both came home.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I thought you'd be cool about it. Grandad said he taught you how to play in the summer holidays when you were at prep school.
Yes. Well, I wish he hadn't.
I liked it.
Daniel, gambling's a complete and utter waste of time, and it can ruin your life, okay?
Ugh.
Okay?
Okay.
And you're not to do it again. Now go and pay back the money.
What?
Now.
Well, what'll I say to Grandad if he wants to play again?
I've spoken to Grandad. He won't ask you again.
Go on, Daniel.
I don't know why you're being so heavy about it. Saddos.
Hey, come on. It's all right.
Oh, darling.
I know.
I did used to play with Dad, you know. And I loved it too. We spent one summer holiday playing most evenings. With the big old pennies, you know, and threepenny bits. Just before decimalisation came in. Hardly high stakes looking back, but I loved the feeling of winning even then.
Oh, darling.
It's a big deal. We know that more than most people.
Yes.
But it'll only make it more attractive to Daniel if we go on and on about it.
I just want to protect him.
Oh, sweetheart, I know. Come here.
I don't want him to get used to the buzz of winning easy money.
I know. And I don't either. He'll have forgotten all about it this time next week when he's in the swing of his new term.
Oh, I hope so.
It's been a novelty for him having Jim here over the holidays. Once he's gone, he won't influence Daniel anymore.
Once he's gone? That's good. He's showing no sign of leaving.
I know. Oh, that's better. Don't let him get to you.
Oh, this is a turnaround. It's usually me saying that to you.
Oh, he really knows how to wind us up, doesn't he?
Oh.
What are you doing?
Oh, my wretched exercises. I have to keep raising my lower leg up and down. Ah, tedious. Well, I've got to get the old leg strong again for when I go home.
Spurs. You're not going yet, though.
No. Soon.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. So, Mother's put the kibosh on our gambling school, then.
Oh. Looks like it.
Pity.
Yeah. Oh, and Dad says I've got to give you this back, the money.
Oh, thank you.
Where should I put it?
Oh, on the table there.
Okay.
Sorry I got you into trouble.
It wasn't your fault. Mum and Dad, they overreacted.
Yes. It was fun, though, wasn't it, our game?
Yeah. Well, I think I'll go on the computer.
Righto. Daniel.
Hmm?
Pass me over that money, will you? Just the note.
Okay. Here.
Thanks. Don't suppose there's anything in the rule book to stop an old man slipping his only grandson a fiver, is there? Not on the last day of his halls.
Suppose not.
No. So you have it.
Really?
Well, you won it fair and square.
Cool. Thanks, Grandad.
Yes, well, all's well and all that. Only Daniel.
What?
Don't tell your mother.
So that's a little bit about the farm. It goes without saying, you're all extremely welcome here for Plough Monday. We're really pleased you could all come.
You're looking a bit cold, David.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll be brief, then we can get moving. Now, the last group we showed round here were young children who were quite shy about asking questions. I hope you're not going to be the same.
Ooh, not the clergy, they ain't shy.
Well, we thought if half of you would like to follow Ruth and Alan, the rest can start the tour with me and Bert in the milking parlour.
We don't expect you to do the milking, though.
No, he's retired now, but you wouldn't know it. We'll meet back up again at about 4 o'clock in the barn. Now, don't worry, we've got heaters in there for tea and cakes, which were made by Ruth's mum.
Remember my 3 days parking?
Oh, how could I forget? Unfortunately, Ruth will have to shoot off to do the milking at the end of tea, but Shula, who some of you know, will be joining us to help hand it round. Right, well, shall we get going before you all freeze to the spot?
Oh, David.
Yes, Bert.
Let me introduce you to Rachel Dorsey, the Archdeacon.
Oh, hello.
Hello, David.
Hi.
How nice to meet you.
Oh, my sister's talked about you.
Shula?
Yeah.
She's told me about you as well.
Uh-oh.
How well you've kept the farm going since you took it over from your father.
Oh, that's nice.
She does such a lot for Alan.
Yeah, I know.
As you do, Bert.
Well, he enjoys being a church warden.
It's a good turnout today.
Yes, I think we're 30-plus in the party.
Oh, especially considering it's so cold. They're not under a three-line whip, are they?
Not at all. We're all really looking forward to this afternoon.
Good.
Thank you for having us. It can't be very convenient.
No, it's fine. No, we're always happy to let people know what we do here. Right, shall we get going then?
Good idea.
Yeah, come on.
Kathy, hello.
Oh, Nigel.
How lovely to see you back.
Thank you. I'm just getting these new guidebooks onto the shelves.
Ah, jolly good. I'm sorry I wasn't here to welcome you back this morning. I was busy in the estate woodland. There's so much cutting back and clearing to do in the winter.
That's all right. I didn't expect it.
And Lizzie was in Felpersham.
It's okay, really.
It's much quieter now the children are back in school, she said. Felpersham is, I mean.
Well, we've had a quiet day here.
Oh, yes?
In fact, I thought I might start the stocktake.
Why not?
Well, it's always a good time to do it after Christmas and New Year.
Indeed.
I'm sorry about being off over the holidays.
Not at all. We managed quite well. It was more important you took the time you needed.
It's kind of you to say so.
Well, you're under a lot of strain.
Yes.
Are you sure you feel up to working now? I mean...
Yes, I'm fine. Really, Nigel. I couldn't put it off forever.
No. So what did you do over Christmas?
Oh, it was fairly low-key. We had lunch at the Bull, which was nice.
Oh, how convivial.
Yeah, and we took Jamie to see Jack and the Beanstalk.
Ran?
Yeah, he loved it.
I'm sure he did. Well, look, I won't hold you up. I just wanted to welcome you back.
Right. Well, thanks.
Oh, we did wonder if you might be free to pop up to the office later on this afternoon.
Oh?
Nothing to worry about. Lizzie wanted to go through the rota with you.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. We'll need to do that.
No hurry.
Later on, maybe, when it's quiet. Quieter.
Fine. Well, I'll let you get on. Bye for now.
Bye, Nigel. Oh, God.
Yeah, 2001, wasn't it, Bert, when we contracted out the arable?
Ah, that's it.
Why did you decide to do it?
Well, to free up our time, partly, so we could concentrate on expanding the dairy herd. Plus, we didn't want capital tied up in machinery we'd only use a few weeks of the year.
I see.
Last few years, been all about increasing our dairy margins. With the extended grazing I was telling you about. Managing our grass better, really.
Yeah, we brought in a specialist herd manager, Sam. Very technical he was.
Yeah, Ruth does the job now, and very well too.
Nice fella, except he left out of the blue. He taught her a lot, mind.
The yields went up after he left.
You're a good team, you and Ruth.
Well, you know, if you don't pull together on a farm, you're sunk. Listen, I think we better stop and wait for the others.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Shall I go back and get them, David?
Oh, thanks, Bert.
Yeah, right.
So, when the cry went up a few years ago to diversify, what did you do?
Well, we decided to look at adding value through better marketing. We already had the lamb co-op up and running. And then in 2001 we went into Hereford beef, selling it locally from the farm.
You caught a trend there.
Yeah, I know. We got some in the freezer if you're interested.
Oh, remind me at the end of the tour.
I will. And we let a holiday cottage as well. You know, it all helps.
And how did you cope with the low milk prices all those months?
Well, being in a co-op, we were in a stronger position. We were able to hold out till the price improved, unlike some farmers who couldn't wait.
Yes. I've counselled plenty of farmers in my time.
Yeah, sure.
And there are the ones who didn't make it through the big foot-and-mouth crisis. That was so ghastly.
Yeah, I know. We had TB in the herd a few years ago.
Oh.
It's terrible.
And now blue tongue.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for a vaccine in the spring, isn't it?
Before it gets too warm.
Yep. Oh, good. Burke's bringing the others, look.
So it's pretty quiet on the farm in winter, then?
Yeah, it's just routine livestock jobs, really. And the milking never stops, of course.
So, whose is the tractor over there, then?
Oh, no, that's not one of our fields.
Oh.
No, it's part of the Borchester Land Estate.
The corporate setup.
Oh, you've heard of them, then?
Of course.
Yeah, it's probably Adam. Looks like he's doing some ploughing.
I'm all right for that Saturday, Elizabeth. I'll work it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, thanks, Cathy. Yeah, that solves the problem. Well, I think we're there, don't you?
Yeah.
I'll put all this on the computer, and you can check it before we do the printout for the staff.
Fine. Right, I'll get back to the shop then.
You know, you don't actually have to.
No, you said we'd finished.
Why not take the rest of the afternoon off? There's only an hour to go.
Well, I can't.
Oh, no, really. I'll catch up. It's your first day back. I don't want you overdoing it.
Well, all right then.
No problem, then. You get off.
Thanks. Elizabeth.
Yes.
I'd rather you didn't discuss my personal business with members of your family.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to. No, that's all right. Apology accepted.
Ah, how are you getting on?
We're finished now, aren't we, Cathy?
Yep.
Bye, Cathy.
Oh, Nigel, that was awful.
Oh, come on now. At least you've broken the ice.
I think we're still skating on it.
It'll get easier.
Easier? Are you kidding?
I meant your day-to-day working relationship.
It can only get worse. Taylor's solicitor's coming up to interview me tomorrow, remember?
I know, darling. Well, has he given you a time yet?
No, he's coming up from Bournemouth sometime in the afternoon. It'll depend on the traffic.
Of course.
Absolutely dreading it. What if I say the wrong thing again and make it worse for Cathy? She'll never speak to me.
Well, I thought that went really well.
Well, our group, maybe. Ruth said her lot weren't so forthcoming.
Oh, dear.
It was all right. Alan asked lots of questions.
But he already knows most of the answers.
Well, he got the discussion going. That's the main thing.
All right. Is there a word for a group of clergy?
Ooh, don't know.
A vocation?
Or a congregation?
Good one.
Frieda's parking was a hit.
Yeah, they fell on their tea, didn't they?
There, is Shula coming in?
No, no, she's gone to Home Farm to give Jennifer a birthday present.
Oh, today, is it?
Yeah. Between you and me, I think she's putting off going home for as long as she can.
Why, there's nothing wrong, is there?
Well, it's Alistair's father. They had a run-in over something yesterday. She wouldn't say what it was there.
Oh, dear.
Ah, Pip.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Bert. Dad, guess what I've just seen from the bus?
What?
Well, you know it comes back via Penny Hassett.
Yeah?
Well, one of the fields on the left near the Am was being ploughed up. Quarry Bank.
Oh, yeah. We noticed that on the farm.
Yeah, one of the estate fields, that.
I know. It's where I did my survey last May.
What survey was that, Pip?
My Skylark survey.
It was a set-aside field, but...
Oh, I remember.
Pip did a count of the number of nesting Skylarks in it, comparing it to one of our wheat fields.
Yeah. There were only 3 nests in ours, but 10 in Quarry Bank. I mean, what right have they got to plough it up, Dad?
Well, I'm sorry, love. I know it's hard.
Hard on the Skylarks. The wild grass and weeds in that field was a perfect habitat for them. I mean, it's just wrong.
Is it Adam done that?
Yeah, he did mention it to me in passing, now I come to think of it.
Dad, why didn't you say something?
Oh, I'm sorry, love. I forgot.
You could have at least tried to stop him. You knew that there were Skylarks in that field.
Well, to be fair to Adam, he did say he'd rather not have to do it.
Well, why did he then?
Well, because he's only the contractor. He doesn't make the decisions.
Huh? So he just carries them out, even if they're the wrong ones? I could never do that.
Everything's black and white at your age, Pip.
What?
I'm just saying, it's not straightforward.
Yes, it is.
It does seem a pity.
Yeah, I know, I agree it's a pity, but he didn't have a choice. It was Matt's decision. Set-aside's been suspended now, you know that.
Yeah, I wish it hadn't.
Oh, the grain prices are very good at the moment.
Plus, there's a possible shortage of wheat. A lot of us are doing it.
Did he know about the Skylarks, Adam?
Well, he'd have known that they nest in that field, but he might not have known the numbers, like you. You're the one who did the survey.
So the estate don't know what wildlife's trying to survive on their land?
Ooh, I can't see Mr. Crawford being all that interested.
It's rubbish.
It's farming, love. I'm sorry.
Yes, and farmers should be encouraging Skylarks to nest on their farms, and other birds too. They eat midges, remember?
Ooh, that's a good point, Pip.
They'll be part of the fight against Blue Tongue.
Yeah, all the same, Matt was within his rights to plough Quarry Bank to grow food. We've planted some of our own set-aside, remember?
Brookfield land's different.
How is it different?
We're committed to growing food. The estate hardly grows any. You told me they were more interested in growing rape for biodiesel. I mean, it's hypocritical of him to cash in on higher grain prices.
Look, a farmer's job is to grow things.
He's not a farmer, though. Not a proper one. He's a developer. I mean, he'd cover all his fields with houses if he could get away with it.
Ah, I've always thought of him more as a property developer than a farmer, I must say.
Well, whatever he is, he and the estate have autonomy over their land.
Well, it's wrong what he did. The Skylarks were there first. He's completely destroyed their nests. I mean, it's criminal. Have you got his phone number, Dad?
Why?
I'm going to phone him.
Pip.
I am. He had no right to plough up that field.
Mrs. Pargeter?
Yes?
Keith Stanford, solicitor.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Sorry, I'm still in Bournemouth.
Oh, I see.
We hope to set off in the next half hour, all being well.
We?
I'll have Jan with me, my secretary. She'll be recording your statement on the laptop as we go.
I see.
And you have been told to expect an officer from Bournemouth Police, I hope?
Yes.
No good. They'll sit in to observe. It's a courtesy thing, really.
Oh, right.
We'll need somewhere private to take the statement, where we won't be disturbed.
Of course, the study, maybe.
Well, that sounds perfect. We'll see you soon, then. Bye now.
Bye.
Lizzie?
Taylor's solicitor's just rung. He's not even left Bournemouth yet.
Oh, Lord. Poor you.
And I don't know when the police officer will be here.
Why are they coming together? It's not very ecological.
Because they're on opposite sides, Nigel.
Sorry. Didn't think.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be as short as I can with my answers. I don't want to throw Taylor's case any more red meat.
Didn't you get my voicemail?
Oh, yeah. I was going to get back to you, Pip, only I thought you'd be at school all day.
Why did you plough up Quarry Bank?
Sorry?
It's a field on your estate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember now. Well, it was set aside.
You've destroyed the habitat for nesting skylarks.
Have I? Well, I'm very sorry, is that it?
How could you?
No sense in having it under weeds, love. A field of wheat's worth a lot more to me than a field of skylarks at the moment.
So, making money's more important than protecting the environment?
Growing food's not destroying the environment. I hate it when people say that.
I did a special survey on those skylarks as part of my school project.
Well, I'm sure you came top of the class, sweetie.
They loved it there.
Look, there's no point in getting upset. The field's ploughed up now. I expect the skylarks will find somewhere else to nest next time.
You should have left them alone.
I know, it's tough, but there it is. Now, Pip, I'm a busy man, okay?
I've been instructed by my client, Gareth Taylor, to robustly defend the allegations of rape with regard to Kathy Perks.
Yes.
I've had sight of your previous statement, taken by D.S. Collins, when he came to see you and your husband on October the 8th last year.
Oh, right.
There are aspects of your statement that favoured Mr. Taylor, and which I wish to explore with you. These may or may not be used as evidence to help him. Okay?
Yes.
Good.
I probably won't be able to remember everything I said then.
Oh, gosh, no. I'm not expecting you to. I've got the record of it here.
Oh.
Right. I want to start, if I may, with your reply when D.S. Collins asked if Mr. Taylor and Mrs. Perks were going out on dates together. You said, "I don't think they reached that stage, not yet anyway."
Did I?
So do you think, looking back, they were on course to start dating?
I don't really know why I said that.
But something in the way they were, perhaps, pressed a little bell in the back of your mind. Oh, they'll be going out together soon, you watch.
Not consciously, no.
Well, we'll come back to that. You said, though, you and your husband... hold on. Oh, yep. You said you did wonder if things might develop further between them. Could you say why, please?
If that thought did go through my mind, it wasn't because of anything they were doing.
Why, then?
It was stupid speculation on my part.
Based on?
My overactive imagination.
There is a sort of moment, though, isn't there, Elizabeth, when a friendship shifts into another gear? When you start to speculate about a couple?
They weren't a couple.
Two individuals, then.
It doesn't mean anything's going to happen just because people talk about them. You can't wish it into existence.
People were talking about them, weren't they?
Yes.
So, the way they were together might have given an impression there was something between them?
An impression isn't the same as the truth, is it?
You sound like the lawyer now. Okay. I want to stay with this because you also said that the kitchen was buzzing with gossip. Like you specifically added, I mean, the chef and the restaurant manager, an item.
I got carried away. It didn't mean anything. There's no way they were an item. But there's always gossip in a small workplace, especially in the winter here when it's quiet. It got built up out of nothing. I wouldn't give it any significance.
Okay. All right, Jan. You're doing fine, Elizabeth. Ready to go on?
Yes, all right.
Good. Now, I want to ask you how you perceived Kathy and Mr. Taylor's relationship.
It wasn't a relationship.
How friendly did she act towards him? Elizabeth? Was she a bit friendly? Very friendly?
Somewhere between the two. I don't know.
Can you expand on that?
She's a friendly person. She took an interest in him because she's polite. She takes an interest in everyone. It's not her fault if he misinterpreted that.
What sort of interest?
Nothing untoward.
Did you ever hear her make favourable comments about him? Anything at all you can remember, Elizabeth?
That he was a good listener.
Oh, yes. Yes, she opened up to him about her then boyfriend, didn't she?
Yes.
Anything else? Did she pay him any more compliments?
Nothing specific.
Did you ever come across them sharing a joke?
Well, they were work colleagues. Of course, there was occasional banter.
And did you notice anything particular in their body language? Any signs of intimacy?
No, that's ridiculous. As I said, they were work colleagues and they behaved appropriately.
Right. Were you aware of them seeing each other away from work at all?
They both attended rehearsals for the Christmas play. I don't think even Taylor could have misconstrued that as dating. I believe he was being pathetic about his part.
So, they had amateur dramatics in common and catering, presumably. You need a good rapport between the head chef and the manager for things to run smoothly.
There were no fireworks.
So they worked well together?
Yes, they were a good team.
And she respected him?
Professionally.
Okay. Now, when D.S. Collins asked you if there was trust between them, your reply was definitely.
That's because Kathy's a trusting person. She gets on well with everyone. She's kind and loyal.
And she was kind to Taylor.
Yes, but that didn't give him the right to...
Do you think that she was especially kind to him?
If she was, it's because he played the misfit card and she felt sorry for him. Not because she was interested in him as a man. She was still in love with my brother, I'm convinced of it. Even though they'd fallen out, Taylor was taking advantage of a caring woman who'd showed an interest in him because he was a loner.
Yet you were happy to employ him, Elizabeth.
Well, yes.
So, in your judgment, he was a good team player.
Yes, I suppose he was, in spite of himself.
A good employee who never gave you any problems? Is that fair to say?
Yes, all right. But with hindsight now, I can see he was weird.
But while he was under your employment, he seemed a normal guy.
Yeah.
With a normal guy's healthy interest in a female colleague, who showed an interest in him. Elizabeth?
Yes.
Nah, spot on as usual. Well, if you're recommending him, he's going to be good, isn't he? Okay, how about dinner? Then you can fill me in on his background. Well, tonight? Okay, get back to me, Annabelle, I'm at home. Yeah, bye for now. Bye-bye.
Ah, Annabelle.
Oh, pussycat. Yeah, she's recommended someone for the board.
Cup of tea?
Oh, just right. Be careful.
So, why have you got to meet her for dinner?
This guy's got a complicated CV. She wants to take me through it.
Well, it can't be tonight.
Why not?
Because I'm cooking something special.
My, you have got the cooking bug this week.
Yeah, well, it's a complicated recipe Jenny gave me. Spicy Moroccan lamb with couscous. Ooh. And apricots.
Blimey.
So you'll have to cancel, Annabelle, won't you?
Yep. No problem, my sweet.
And if it's a new board member, well, surely you need to invite Chalky et al. To discuss him.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. So you'd better ring Annabelle back and cancel then, hadn't you?
So, if you wouldn't mind signing the statement now, Elizabeth, then we'll be out of your hair.
Okay. There.
Great.
How many witnesses has he got?
Well, we're following a number of lines of inquiry.
Will I definitely be called?
I can't give you a definitive answer yet, sorry. What happens now is I report back to my barrister and he'll look at the aspects of your statement which may be of use.
Oh.
But you have been helpful, so it is likely. I'll write and let you know.
Sorry to mess you around, Annabel. Friday lunch it is at Grey Gables. Yeah, it's when Jerry and Chalky can make it. Yeah, okay. Okay. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's better, darling. And then you can talk through this new appointment together. All of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I had Pip Archer on the phone.
What's she want?
Oh, she was complaining.
Complaining?
I know, cheat. The estate ploughed up and set aside. Debbie thought it was a good idea. Pip was twittering on about some skylarks nesting there. I put her straight.
I hope he didn't bully her, Matt. She's only a child, you know.
I was fair. She's got to learn about the big bad world sometimes.
Well, she must have felt strongly about it. You're quite an intimidating man to ring up.
She held her own.
Well, good for her.
These eco-warriors, they're getting younger.
Just go easy, Matt. Pip's family.
All right, right. Flippin' neck, there's no escaping the Cosa Nostra in this village. And you better go and look at your apricots.
Oh, no. I've decided Moroccan lamb's far too adventurous for a Tuesday night. No, we'll have an omelette instead.
Oh.
He said I'd been helpful, Nigel.
Really?
I did my best to play down their relationship, to backtrack even.
Sure.
But I'm probably going to be a defence witness against Kathy.
Listen, even if you are, I expect the prosecution will want to cross-examine you. They'll show that you're a reluctant witness.
The damage will have been done by then. Everyone will think I'm on the side of a rapist.
Oh.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, you're not supposed to be awake.
No, I saw Tamira. Couldn't get back to sleep.
Do you want a cup of tea?
Oh, in a minute. Let me cuddle you while I've got you. You're usually gone before I wake up.
Yeah, I know. Oh, this is nice.
It's a big day today. Moving the last of my things out of the house.
Yeah.
I think that's why I stayed awake as well. Thinking about it.
Ah, you'll be all right.
I'm burning my bridges.
You want to, though?
Of course I do, but it's still a big step.
Yeah, sure.
I know it ended badly with Andrew, but we lived in that house when the kids were born, so, you know, it's got some good memories.
Well, you can forget all the bad ones once the keys are handed in and you're all moved in here.
What time can you fetch the last of my stuff?
Well, I thought I'd drive straight into Ollerton after work at 1:30.
Okay.
That way I can pick George up on the way home. So it's a pity you can't come.
Oh, we won't all fit in. It's best I stay here with Jake and Mia.
Okay.
Oh, and what about Jake's climbing frame? Still in the garden there.
Yeah, I've had an idea about that.
£8.99, £3.50, £16.50.
Why are you doing that here?
Shh. £84.65.
Thought you had an office in the stables.
It's warmer in here. You're putting me off on purpose. £84.65.
You're putting me off.
Oh, had I counted that already? Oh, blast.
It's not very restful first thing in the morning, you muttering to yourself while I'm trying to enjoy my porridge.
It's not first thing in the morning. It's 8:40, and I want to total these receipts before 9 because I've got a pupil coming, if that's all right with you. £8.99, £3.50.
My toenails need cutting.
£16.50.
I don't want to turn up at the fracture clinic on Friday looking like a case of elder neglect.
£84.65.
You hear about these cases? Old people left with their toenails like talons.
Alistair's used to paring claws. He'll cut them.
Charming.
Oh, I'll have to start all over again now.
My, what a drama. Just adding up a few receipts. If you'd grown up playing pontoon, you wouldn't need that calculator.
Don't push it.
Where's the lime marmalade?
Oh, I'll do these later. In the cupboard. I forgot to put it out.
We go through this every morning. You know I like it.
All right, all right.
This bodes ill for your short-term memory.
You'll have to entertain yourself today. Alistair and I are both busy. I'll leave you a turkey sandwich for lunch.
I'll open a tin of beans.
And how are you going to manage that with your two sticks?
Desperate measures call for desperate remedies.
Marmalade.
Thank you, Shula.
And I won't have time to buy you a paper. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I thought I'd watch a bit of low-life morning television. Panem et Circenses.
What?
Bread and circuses. Mm. It's what the Roman emperors provided for the plebs to stop them rebelling.
Oh.
Except that they weren't jolly circuses with trapeze artists and clowns. They were gladiators and Christians being thrown to the lions.
No time to indulge you in a theological discussion this morning, Jim. Sorry.
Oh. I need a day off, to tell you the truth. It's non-stop socialising in this village. Bingo yesterday at the Laurels.
It was kind of Alan to take you.
He had a car full in the end. Me, Joe and Christine. The Borchester Film Society tomorrow evening with Linda and Robert. Have you ever seen Monsieur Hulot's Holiday?
Yes.
Funniest film ever made, after Duck Soup. The Antiques Fair last Saturday.
You were supposed to be using your sticks then, not going back to the wheelchair.
Oliver volunteered to push me. It would have been very awkward hobbling round the stalls with these damn sticks. If I'd dropped a priceless vase, I'd have ended up paying for it.
You'll have to get used to walking again.
Don't nag. I'm doing my exercises.
You don't want to get better. You want to stay here and torment me.
Oh.
Hello?
Sure, Archer.
Morning, Joe.
Is the prof there?
Jim, it's for you.
Me? Ah.
He's here. He's just leaping to the phone. Here.
Thank you.
And the lame shall walk.
Hello?
Morning, Professor. I was wondering if you fancy a little mission this afternoon on my pony and trap.
Oh, yes, I think I could fit you in.
Oh.
Right, I'll pick you up 1:15.
I'll be ready.
Dress up warm.
Will do. Cheerio. Right. All hands on deck. Is my cotton shirt clean, the thick tartan one?
I don't know.
You better check it's not in the washing machine. And when you've done that, you can fish me out a pair of Alistair's long johns.
Oh.
Come on!
Oh. Everything all right, Nick?
I just wanted to remind you to look on the top shelf of the wardrobe when you're at the house.
Oh, okay.
I think there's a bag of my summer clothes there.
Right, I'll check.
You will have a thorough look round before you go, won't you?
Yeah, don't worry. I won't leave anything behind.
Yeah, steady now. Careful, woman. Mind my foot.
Don't fuss.
There. Happy landing.
Yes, right.
Sticks.
Oh, yes. And I'll need a rug for my knees.
Oh, good idea in this cold.
Well, a horse blanket will have to do.
I don't mind, as long as it's warm.
You can have this one off Marcellus.
So, where are we going this afternoon, Joe?
Holland, about 4 miles away.
And what's our mission?
To pick up a kiddie's climbing frame and shove it on the back here.
Well, how are we going to manage that between us?
Oh, don't worry. My grandson William will meet us at the house. He'll do the muscle work.
Oh, good.
It belongs to his girlfriend's little un. I want to help him out. Well, you do, don't you?
Oh, yes. What a family's for.
Here you are, Jim.
Ah, right.
Mind if I share it with you?
Not at all.
Oh, did you have your lunch?
Yes, beans.
Yeah, it's very cosy.
You drive safely, Joe.
Will do, Mrs.
We don't want Jim's other leg ending up in plaster.
All right, Bartleby. Walk on.
Ah, life looks splendid from up here. Goodbye, Shula.
Bye. Oh, peace at last. I think I'll have that turkey sandwich.
Do you know Heather Pritchard?
Who?
Ruth's mother.
Oh, from up north.
Yes. She lives not 50 miles from me, you know. Thought I might look her up when I get home.
Ah, good at baking, eh? So clever, isn't she?
Is she? I lost Alistair's mother 33 years ago.
Oh. Hey, fancy a nip of whiskey to keep out the cold.
Just what the doctor ordered.
In my pocket here. It's a new bottle, so you won't catch nothing.
Excellent.
I've been without my Susan close on 39. She cooked my favourite meal every Saturday night for 28 years.
That's devotion.
Steak and kidney. Her mother could never bring herself to talk to me after the wedding.
Oh, dear.
Sour old bat. Very religious, see?
Oh, well, that would explain it.
Thought I didn't match up. I've seen a few women since, mate.
Really?
Well, handsome, eligible fellow like me's bound to have his admirers, eh? There was Marjorie Antrobus. She was at the bingo yesterday. Her with a plummy voice.
Oh, yes. Charming woman.
Then there was Martha Woodford. Oh, them two ended up in a love triangle with Freddie Danby.
Gracious.
Oh, huh? Hey, slow down, you maniac. They was both desperate for him. Of course, Martha Woodford was involved in a second triangle with me and Bill Inslee.
It's like Peyton Place.
But I dropped out the race. She was too demanding. Had us both running all kinds of errands. Mending her gate, chopping her logs, making bird tables, all sorts.
Sure. They take advantage, some people.
Oh, George loves that fire engine. Don't you, Georgie?
Well, we should let Jake have a turn with it, though.
Well, it is his favourite.
Come on now, Mia. It's all right, sweetheart. It's all right.
Well, it was kind of Brian and Jennifer to give him that for Christmas.
Oh, the place is overrun with toys and all my extra stuff. It's a right mess.
Nah, it's okay. We'll find a home for everything. Somehow.
This little one's really upset with all the comings and goings today.
Yeah, I know. But things will settle down in a day or two when we're sorted. At least the Hollerton house is empty now.
Yeah.
And Jake's got his climbing frame.
Oh, it was good of your granddad to bring it over. Oh, who's that now?
Don't worry. You stay here.
Don't let them in.
Oh, it's Sheila.
Hi, Will.
Come in.
No, Max.
Oh, boy, it's cold out there.
Oh, come and sit down.
Oh, hello.
Excuse all the chaos. We haven't found a place for everything yet.
Oh, don't mind me.
Have you met Nick?
Yes, in the shop. Hi.
Hello.
I won't stay, Will. I've come to pick up Jim.
Oh, change of plan. He left with my grandad.
Oh.
They've gone back to Keeper's Cottage for a slice of Mum's marble cake and a cup of tea.
Oh, I see.
They were going to stop here, but we'd nothing in.
We haven't been to the shops today. All right, Mia.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yes. I just could have done without the wild goose chase. It's been one of those days.
I know the feeling.
I had to swap my afternoon's lessons because of a trauma at Lower Loxley.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's nothing serious. I went to mop up my little sister over something, that's all. It's fine.
Ah, right.
Well, I'll go to Joe's then and pick up my wayward father-in-law.
Okay.
Thanks, Will.
Oh, sorry you had a wasted journey.
Oh, it's not your fault. Bye, Nick.
Bye.
Bye, Sheila.
Will, why did you ask her in?
Well, I had to. It would have been rude not to.
Oh, look at the state of the place. Didn't know where to put myself.
Ah, Sheila doesn't care about things like that.
No, but I do. And did you have to say we've nothing in?
Well, we haven't.
Oh, what's it make us look like?
Well, I can go to the shop in a minute.
Mate, give me that.
Oh, it's one of the beaters. Play nicely now, boys. Oh.
Come on, George.
Mummy,
you have to share.
That won't.
George, let James have the fire engine now.
No.
Yes. Come on.
Mate,
you've had it long enough. Here you are, James. Your turn to play with it.
Yeah. Okay. See you.
Oh, stop crying, George.
What's going on? What's the matter, Georgie?
Oh, he needs to learn to share his toys, Will.
It's all right, son. Yeah, it's all right. You play with the tractor instead.
Yeah, she's taking it.
Oh, good.
It was vulnerable, this land. The mother didn't seem interested.
Gavin and I managed quite well last week when you were in Oxford.
I appreciated it.
So what time's this AD engineer coming again?
Carl, he said 11.
I'm looking forward to his presentation. Just a shame Debbie isn't here to hear him.
I'll report back to her. Is Mum out?
Yeah, gone to meet Lillian.
Hey, she looks fabulous in that winter coat, Brian.
She says it's one of the best birthday presents I've ever bought her.
Brownie points for you, then.
Yeah. We had a lovely evening at Grey Gables on Monday. And thanks for babysitting Rory.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, Jenny suggested we all repair to the Bull for lunch when Carl's gone. On leave.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we can talk things through. And it's Pat's birthday.
Oh, yes. Oh, by the way, Will left a message for you. Something about a problem with the beaters for the weekend shoot.
Oh, right. I'll get back to him.
He said Casanueva's a bit of a tip. He moved the rest of his girlfriend's things in yesterday.
Oh.
It's a big step for Nick, giving up her independence. Come to think of it, she'll probably lose benefits as a result of living with someone again.
Oh, will she?
Mr. Macy?
Oh, hi. Carl.
Yeah.
I'm Adam, and this is Brian Aldridge.
How do you do?
Carl Logan. Good to meet you.
Found us all right?
Yeah, no problem. With the trusty sat-nav.
Good.
Afraid the others aren't here yet.
That's okay. Farmers. You're always running late.
Let's go over to the house.
Come on, Pat. Get in.
Give me a chance.
Aren't we going to be late?
Oh, calm down. You'll give me indigestion.
At last.
Well, I was ready. Aunt Clary produced some cream cakes for my birthday.
Oh.
Well, I couldn't very well grab mine and wolf it down, so I stayed and had a coffee with her. It's all lying on my stomach now.
Well, I hope you didn't tell her where we're going. Adam wants to keep this anaerobic digester idea hush-hush.
I know, but I'd already talked about it with her when we filled in our questionnaire.
Oh, Pat.
Oh, don't worry. I've asked her to keep it to herself.
Yeah, but she'll blab to Eddie.
She won't. She's not that interested anyway.
I still think it was dishonest filling in that questionnaire if we don't intend joining in the scheme. This consultant will include our figures in his estimates.
Oh, too bad. He'll have to do them again.
But we'll have to come clean.
Don't make such a big deal of it. I'm sure they'll want to go ahead without us anyway. The important thing is to get there and hear what this guy has to say.
Yeah, well, I hope you're going to behave yourself, Pat.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, at least give him a chance to get his facts out.
I'm going there to listen. But I'm not going to shy away from challenging him either.
Oh.
He works for the company that builds these systems, remember? I'm not just going to swallow all his arguments.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, Carl. Carry on.
No, I'll just explain what I said earlier to you and Brian. There's no way you'd get permission for a large-scale centralised unit here. The roads aren't up to it.
Yeah, we did wonder, didn't we, Ruth?
Yeah.
Well, that's realistic, I suppose.
I mean, giant Arctics trundling in and out all day. Planners wouldn't countenance it.
Well, I'm on the parish council. They wouldn't be too happy either.
So we're looking at plant using your own farm residues.
Is that going to be cost-effective?
Oh, yeah, it's just a matter of having the right-sized plant. Horses for courses.
Hello. Hi.
Ah, Pat, Tony, welcome. Come in.
Thanks.
Sorry we're late.
Hello, everyone.
Well, happy birthday, Pat.
Thank you.
Many happy returns.
We left our coats in the hall.
Good.
Right, sit yourselves down.
All right, thanks.
This is Carl Logan, all right?
Oh. Hi.
Hello.
Would you like a coffee?
Oh, no thanks. Got a bit of indigestion.
I will, Adam.
Okay, we're just getting going.
Right.
So, Carl, if not a large-scale system, how big are we talking?
I'm just bringing it up on the laptop. Based on the quantities you gave me from the three questionnaires, a small on-farm digester handling about 10,000 tonnes of residue a year would do it.
Right.
Here you go, Tony.
Oh, thanks, Adam.
Help yourself to Mum's biscuits.
Right. I've got some photographs here. This one's roughly that size. Pass them round.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Let's see, David.
Right. You've got the reception tank for the waste, then the sealed digester. You could have two of those to maximise output.
Uh-huh.
No worse than a grain silo, is it? Look, Pat. Oh, yeah.
And there's the boiler, then the biogas tank itself, of course.
Well, that produces the electricity and heat.
Exactly. It works out to about 90% of the fuel's energy content, converting it to roughly 30% electrical energy, 60% heat. And some of the heat's recycled to keep the digester running at optimum temperature. Rest you can use on the farm.
You saw our polytunnels.
Ideal.
That's a shame that we can't use it.
There's nothing to stop you putting the digester on your farm. That's something we could look at.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
You're planning to put it over at Home Farm, aren't you, Adam?
That's the idea.
Fine.
I think it's a great idea, using the waste heat.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but it's a chance to extend the growing season, eh, Adam?
I know. Maybe go in for peppers, squashes?
We'd allocate a value to the heat energy, so you'd pay that to the company.
Yeah.
We can sometimes partially bury the digester to help insulate it.
Which makes it even more efficient.
Mm.
And, the other tank here?
That's where you store the fermented material, the digester.
Oh, right.
And that becomes the fertiliser.
That's it. All pretty straightforward.
Carl, suppose you were to take the Bridge Farm waste out of your calculations. How would that affect the plant size?
Ah, my clever laptop will tell you that in a jiffy.
No, wait. How about we just go along with Carl's figures for now?
Yeah, but they'll be wrong without us.
It's easily done, really. It's not a problem.
No, come on, hear him out. You might change your mind.
Okay. Pat?
Oh, all right.
You could still go for the same size unit anyway, with respect. You might find another interested party, or you may decide to grow more crops yourselves.
So that's what you'd advocate, is it?
Not really my call.
But it wouldn't necessarily be all animal wastes.
No, it's perfectly possible to grow maize, for example. That can all go through.
Oh, would you say that's responsible advice?
Well, it's only a suggestion. To be honest, with these small on-farm units, I wouldn't go much smaller, given the size of Home Farm and...
Brookfield.
Yeah, I mean... It's up to you, but you don't want to limit yourself setting out.
Ah, you've made my point for me. Never mind if you haven't got enough waste, just grow some more.
Pat.
Look, don't let's get hung up on this now, Pat.
Now let the poor chap do his presentation.
It's okay.
Carl, how much will it cost us to get connected to the grid?
Ah, yes,
good one. Mm.
Well, that varies widely depending where your nearest power cable is, but it could be anywhere between 20 and 60k.
Oh, that sounds a lot.
Well, yeah, but you've only got to do it once.
And what about the running costs?
That's hard to gauge exactly, between 7 and 10 grand a year.
So what, that's wages, insurance?
I can be more precise if and when you decide to go ahead with the feasibility study.
Seems a good idea to me.
Yeah.
Carl, what about the annual profit?
Yeah, I wondered when someone was going to ask that.
I couldn't guesstimate that accurately without the study, but remember, if it all goes well, you'd have a guaranteed contract to sell power to the grid. So that's secured income, mm-hmm. plus income under carbon credits. Then there's the value of the heat energy and the soil conditioner. It's win-win, really.
It's all so straightforward to someone like Carl. Too much carbon in the atmosphere? Here's the engineering solution. Build an AD system.
Hey, we better keep our voices down.
Yeah, we don't want word getting out yet.
Ooh.
It's a damn good solution.
Up the towns, maybe, using supermarket and abattoir waste. But in a small village like ours, we can easily put our farm waste and manure into compost. Trap the carbon that way.
But we already do.
Not build a £1 million plant. It's the same old thing, using an industrial solution for the problem instead of a simple, sustainable one.
Look, Carl's job is to sell these systems. If you wouldn't get bogged down in your ethics, Pat, we'd have been there all morning.
Well, you all did your best to shut me up.
Oh, come on, Pat.
Come on, let's have another drink, shall we? Same again?
Oh, please, Brian. Oh,
yeah. Not for me, thanks.
Oh, come on, Pat, it's your birthday. No hard feelings.
Yeah, I'll go on then.
I'll give you a hand, Brian.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate you have strong views, Pat.
Look, I'm not a Luddite, and I can see why you're all so taken with it. Of course I don't object to the principle of capturing carbon from organic waste that's already there.
That's what we want to do.
Yeah, at Brookfield. But I do object to land being taken out of food production, specifically to grow energy crops for the digester. Well, Carl seemed to think that was okay. He even advocated it.
Well, be fair, he was only brainstorming, putting out options.
Well, that's an option you'll be using now, Adam.
Only as a proportion of the waste. And remember, we grow well over 1,000 acres of grain, so we do our bit towards food production.
But crops aren't waste. They need nutrients and sprays to grow, so it's not an efficient product for the digester anyway. You'd be growing it just to sell electricity back to the grid.
As part of the mix, that's all.
Yeah, just so people can leave their TVs on standby, turn the heating up so they can pose in their designer T-shirts instead of putting on a jumper. Oh, it's all about creating comfort, isn't it? No one's willing to cut back and consume less.
Oh, come on. Okay. So there's a small trade-off if we grow a bit of maize. But the bottom line is these anaerobic digesters help lose the methane.
Yeah. That's so important, Pat. It's one of the biggest greenhouse gases.
I know that.
And it's better to recycle waste than shove it in a landfill to warm up.
There are targets to reduce landfill.
we'd be doing our bit.
Oh, I just wish every household would compost their own food waste. It's small individual acts that'll change things.
Well, we all know small is beautiful, which is why I hoped you'd want to be in on a family-sized scheme like this, just our three farms. You won't get more local than that.
Yeah, and we'd actually be doing something positive. I think it's really exciting.
Yeah, feeding the grid from a renewable source of energy, not depleting fossil fuels.
It doesn't get much greener, Pat. And there's the fertiliser as well at the end of it.
Which won't be organic, so we wouldn't be able to use it at Bridge Farm anyway.
Well, OK, I admit that may be a problem. But let's maybe find out what the Soil Association has to say before you dismiss it out of hand.
Oh, you just don't get it, Adam.
I do, believe me. I just think you're wrong. They've already had these things going in Germany for 20 years.
It's the wrong solution for Ambridge. I'm sorry, there's Cathy. I want a word.
Excuse me. Oh, dear. She's not convinced.
No, it's such a pity. It'd be fantastic to have Bridge Farm on board.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I think Tony's wavering.
Oh, Pat.
Hi. What are you doing here at lunchtime?
Nigel and Elizabeth have driven me to drink.
Oh, I know the feeling.
Now, I realised Jamie's football kit was in the car. He'll need it here straight after school. It's complicated, shared parenting.
How's work been?
Difficult, especially with Elizabeth.
You do look very drawn, love.
Oh, I'm knackered, to tell you the truth.
It must be such a strain for you with Taylor on bail.
I'm imagining things now. I thought I saw him yesterday when I got out of the car after work. But it was just the shadow of the trees under the streetlight. I felt so stupid.
You need an early night, that's all.
Oh, Lord, it's your birthday today, isn't it? Oh, Pat, I'm sorry. I completely forgot. Happy birthday.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
We'll go out for a coffee sometime.
Yeah, I'd like that. Oh, I see you've got most of the family with you. Celebrating in style, eh?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, yes, thank you, Mr. Burgess. Yes, goodbye.
No, that's all right. You're going a different way. Yeah, bye, Chalky. Bye, Annabelle.
That was a long lunch. Business?
Yeah, too long, too much food, too much brandy. I need a taxi. Please.
Not a problem. Very attractive lady.
But Annabelle, yeah. She's a lawyer on the board.
Where to?
Hey?
The taxi.
Dower House.
Oh, right. You could have walked it off.
I don't come here for health advice. Besides, I never walk anywhere I don't have to in winter.
Hello. Taxi from Grey Gables to the village, please. Crawford. Thank you. 10 minutes, they're in the area.
Right, I'll wait over here. Sink myself into one of your sofas.
Oh, Nat. Mr. Crawford.
What?
A little word.
I have paid my bill, you know.
No. You may know Robert and I successfully opened a bed and breakfast enterprise this year.
Yeah, I had heard.
Well, our guests don't merely pass through like travelling salesmen. They take an interest in the village environment.
Good. Can I sit down now?
We provide each of them with a hand-drawn map of 4 walks from the door. One through the woods, one to Lakey Hill, one following the Am east, and one to the west.
My, a geography lesson as well as lunch.
I took that last route myself yesterday with Scruff to catch the dying rays of a winter's afternoon.
Very nice.
It follows Hayden Brook part of the way. Such a pretty little tributary.
You won't change my mind, Linda. I still want that taxi.
And then you turn left and take the right-of-way past the fields back to the lane and home.
Oh, through my fields?
Yes, exactly. And I couldn't help noticing en route one of them had been ploughed up.
Oh, Quarry Bank. Yeah, it was set aside, but we're putting it down to wheat this spring.
I made special note of that field on my map. I promised my visitors they'd hear skylarks singing there. It was a feature.
Well, they won't now.
It was a perfect habitat. It's a terrible loss to them.
Yeah, but not to me, with grain prices on the up.
Well, your timing was frankly disastrous. Coming up to their pairing season next month, when their rapturous outburst is at its most lusty and jubilant.
Well, tra-la-la.
Did you know the collective noun for a group of larks is an exhortation?
Praise the Lord.
Not without reason. What are they going to do now you've uprooted them?
Go busking in Bolchester?
It's oral degradation.
Well, it's not my problem. I'm not in business to provide themed countryside tunes for your B&B guests. I'm in business to provide food. For people.
But Borchester Land has a responsibility as the biggest landowner in the district to help preserve habitats for wildlife, to set an example.
Yeah, spare me the lecture, OK?
Have you ever stood beside that field and watched a skylark?
Let me see. No, can't say I have.
No, well, maybe you should. The bird will rise up, wings quivering, beginning her song just a few feet above the ground, then vibrating with energy, she mounts higher and higher until she's just a tiny vocal speck in the blue, and bursting with song, she drifts round in a huge arc before her descent, still singing.
Yeah, very poetic, but the
quite. It's one of Mother Nature's most rewarding spectacles.
Yes, only there's a shortage of food in the world, and putting it on people's tables takes priority over... Could you not? I had Pip Archer giving me a nature study lesson about those ruddy skylarks on Tuesday.
Pip?
Yes, and now you. I mean, it was kind of touching in a kid, you know, but it's pathetic in a woman your age.
I just want you to think very carefully before you plough up another set-aside field.
I will plough up what I want. Now, shouldn't you be getting back to your job instead of harrying your guests?
Ah!
Hiya.
Hi. Finished splitting those logs for Mum and Dad for when they get back.
Oh, well done.
Eddie's made a start on the milking, by the way.
Good.
Oh, it's freezing out there.
Do you want a proper look at this letter from the hospital now?
Yeah, come on.
Here. I was just checking the date against the diary again. It's only 3 weeks away.
Right. Not getting cold feet, are you?
Of course not. I think it's time we told the kids, now we've got the date.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to make a big deal of it.
No.
And I doubt the boys will care that Mum's getting a new boob. But they might worry about me being in hospital.
Yeah. Ooh, I could murder a slice of that loaf.
I'll do it.
Thanks, love. With jam, please?
Right.
Yeah, we need to... find a folder for this bump that Carl gave us. It shouldn't be left out.
I know, I will.
Ben's already had his crayons on it, look.
I'll do it before Emma comes tomorrow.
Right. Oh, you know, I'm starting to get really excited about this anaerobic digester thing.
I can tell.
Makes such sense for us.
Well, we need to wait for the feasibility study before we finally commit ourselves.
Yeah, sure.
And it's a lot of capital to invest.
I know.
Pat wasn't persuaded by Carl, was she?
No, pity. I think she'd be all for it. It's a solution, not a problem, after all.
What is?
Hi.
Hi.
Good day at school?
Yeah, okay. What are you talking about?
About this anaerobic digester.
Oh, right.
There's hardly any jam left in this jar.
Oh, whatever's there. How do you feel about it, Pip?
Well, if it helps stop the planet cooking, I'm in. Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
Good, so do I.
It's only at the ideas stage, though, Pip. Better to keep it under your hat for now.
Yeah, OK. Yeah,
we don't want speculation going around the village till we decided something.
Mm. Well, we've had an email from Grandpa in San Francisco.
Oh, I bet they were sad to leave Rarotonga.
Yeah.
What are they up to?
Well, they've had a boat trip round the bay.
Past Alcatraz.
What's Alcatraz?
It's a famous prison island. Al Capone was locked up there.
Ah, oh, I'll go and look.
Oh, Pip, before you do, can I have a word?
Right, I'd better make a start on the milking.
Do you want a cup of tea bringing out?
Oh, yes, cheers.
I'm going over to see Cathy before supper.
Okay.
She's struggling with the fact Taylor's got bail. Well, she's trying to put a brave face on it.
Well, you'd be looking over your shoulder the whole time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, Tom rang.
Oh, yeah? What do you want?
Adams filled him in about their plans for the digester plant.
Ah.
Yeah, well, he knew something was in the air at Home Farm, so Adam came clean.
What'd he say?
Adam or Tom?
Tom.
Oh, he thinks it's a fantastic idea, of course.
Uh-huh.
I told him we weren't interested. He thinks we're nuts.
Does he?
Yeah, he's with Adam. He says it's the way forward, even if there are compromises. And why don't we want to be in on it?
So, what did you say?
That if they go ahead with the plant, I plan to lodge an objection with the planning authority.
What?
I just can't support it.
Oh, Pat, look, it's one thing our not taking part, but trying to stop the others, I mean, they're family. could cause a lot of ill feeling.
Look, I don't want to fall out with them either.
Well, then why do it?
Because once they establish the principle of growing crops, especially for it, they may try and go for an even bigger system.
Oh.
What's to stop them buying stuff in from the estate? Do we really want Ambridge full of bio crops feeding a monster thing like that?
Well, they wouldn't.
Well, who's to say? People get greedy.
No, I don't think that's Adam's motivation.
He want a good return, though, won't he? Well, if they were prepared to go with a really small one, just using manure or waste that would otherwise go into landfill, then I might be able to support it. That's not how they're setting it up.
Well, if we were in on it, we'd be able to influence them.
Oh, come on. If they were really going to listen to us, they'd go organic and so would Brookfield. There's so much interest in it now. No, I'm sorry. I made up my mind. I've got to try and block it.
But why all of a sudden?
Well, it's not really sudden.
Your mum's been thinking about it for a few months.
There's nothing wrong, is there, Mum?
Of course not,
Pip. No, it's nothing to worry about. It's cosmetic.
It's more than that.
No, I mean, you're not ill.
So you just want to fill your bra again?
Exactly.
How succinct.
It's a long operation, though. I'll be out for a whole day.
Why? What do they do?
Well, they take a flap of tissue from me tummy and make a breast out of that.
Clever, eh?
It's called a Dieppe flap. They try and match the size as best they can to the other one. And they can put the nipple on as well.
Whoa, way too much information, Mum.
Sorry, Pet. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Anyway, she'll be pretty sore afterwards, so we've asked Granny Heather back to help in the house.
Oh, cool. And I'll help you on the farm, Dad.
Oh, thank you.
I don't want your schoolwork suffering.
I want to. Do the others know?
No, you are the first.
Quite right.
Hello?
Come in. Linda, hi.
Hi.
Oh, it's lovely and warm here. Ah, Pip.
Hello, Mrs. Snell.
Would you like a cup of tea? Sit down.
Oh, thank you. You're most welcome. Thanks.
Pass a couple of mugs, will you, Pip? I'll pour one for Eddie as well.
Okay.
How are Robert and Jason getting on painting the village hall?
Oh, it's going very well. They have a working understanding.
Oh, good.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Right, I'm going to go look at Grandpa's email.
Oh, no, Pip, it's you I've come to see, actually.
Well, everyone wants me this afternoon.
She hasn't done anything wrong, has she?
Dad. Quite the opposite. You're a fellow steward of the natural environment.
Am I?
I had a run-in with Matt Crawford after lunch.
Oh, him.
Ah.
Over skylarks.
Oh, right.
I complained to him about ploughing up the set-aside in Quarry Bank. He's completely destroyed their nests.
I know. There were 10 there last summer.
As many as that?
Yeah, I did a survey.
Here you are, Linda.
Oh, thank you, Ruth.
I'll just get this to Eddie.
Do you want me to take it?
No, you're all right. I want to see how he's getting on.
He was so patronising towards me.
And me. I was at my most diplomatic as well.
I wasn't. He thinks I'm a stupid kid. He didn't take me seriously at all.
Well, Matt's default setting is plain rude, I'm afraid.
We have got to act to stop him decimating any more sites. Someone ought to complain, David.
Hmm? Don't look at me. It's hardly a parish council problem.
Don't you care, Dad?
Pip, I'm afraid that Matt and the estate are perfectly within their rights to plough up any set-aside they like. It's their land.
He's a vandal.
Oh, I agree, Pip. And he certainly doesn't have the best interests of the countryside at heart.
He's just a townie, really. Someone should serve him with an asbo.
Now, there's a thought.
Well, I was a townie once, actually.
Yeah?
Well, a suburbanite. Well, I like to feel I've earned my rural spurs by now, though.
Oh, I'd say so.
But those poor birds.
Oh, I know. I could weep for them.
Hey, maybe we could go to the paper.
Oh, steady on now.
The Echo. Yes, good thinking.
No, please, don't encourage her, Linda.
Local business tycoon Rex Wildlife Sanctuary.
Which is exactly what he's done.
Dad'd wipe the smug grin off his face.
Look, let's just cool it, shall we?
He deserves it, Dad. What does Auntie Lillian see in him anyway?
Oh, it's naked power. He's very successful at what he does.
Well, he won't succeed in this.
Look, he hasn't broken any laws, you know?
He's broken a moral law, David, all for the sake of greed. And he can't be allowed to do it again.
No, the Skylarks can't defend themselves. We've got to stop him.
Oh, we will, Pip, we will. I have not finished with Matt Crawford by a long chalk. Thank you.
The Archers was written by Nawal Gadala and the agricultural story editor is Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Birmingham studios by Jenny Stevens and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.